إن الحمد لله, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نحمده ونستعينه, we praise him and we seek his assistance. ونستغفره and we seek his forgiveness. ونؤمن به and we believe in him. ونتوكل عليه and we place our trust upon him. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا, we seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil within ourselves. ومن سيئات أعمالنا, and from the wickedness of our deeds. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له, whoever Allah Ta'ala guides, then they can lead him astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, whoever he leads astray, then they can guide him on the straight path. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وحده لا شريك له, he is alone and has no partner. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and messenger. فَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْمَجِيدِ بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى يبسط يده بالليل ليتوب مسيء النهار ويبسط يده بالنهار ليتوب مسيء الليل حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, listeners of Markaz Sahaba online, sisters and our dear children, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are indeed grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sparing us and giving us the opportunity of experiencing the barakat of yet another month of Ramadan. While we show our gratitude and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this wonderful ni'mah and bounty that Allah ta'ala has bestowed us with, we ask Allah ta'ala to treat with kindness those family and friends of ours who were with us not so long ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest stages in Jannah. Those who are sick, Allah grant them shifa'i kamila. Those in difficulty, Allah ta'ala ease the difficulty for them. Those in the hotspot of the Muslim world, more so in Palestine and other hotspots where they're really undergoing difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the difficulty for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them overcome their oppressors. And more importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such, when the time of our exit comes, we can leave this world with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our lips in such a manner that Allah ta'ala is pleased with us. Respected listeners, I'm sure you are well immersed, imbibing, enjoying, and soaking up the barakat of this month of Ramadan. With the first 10 days having are behind us now, the month of the 10 days of mercy, we are getting used to the waters of the month of Ramadan. And as we tasting the various bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us, we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything as a means of closeness to him and made life easy for us to gain that kind of closeness. Simple things like in getting up for sehri, just to satisfy ourselves, to have that kind of strength to engage in more ibadah, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us thawab. تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Then you find at the end of the day, when you are there and you are about to break your fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love that moment so much, love that sacrifice of yours for the day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you from one of those people whose du'as are accepted and whose du'as are not rejected. In the hadith, which speaks of ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ, the three groups of people who their du'as are not rejected. One of them is الصَّائِمُ حَتَّى يُفْتِرْ, that fasting person until he breaks his fast. So there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his mercy. That is not even speaking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so much more in terms of the rewards of the normal day-to-day action that we do. Allah give us the urge, the zeal and enthusiasm to get involved in those things that are important for us. Respected listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kindness has made us from the Ashraf al-Makhluqat, from insan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kindness has not left us without guidance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to lead a disciplined life in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put structures in place in which we could lead this disciplined life, we could remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and would not forget that great meeting on the day of Qiyamah when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day when a person's wealth will not benefit him, neither would his children benefit him, except the only thing that will benefit him would be that sound, clean, pure heart that he comes with. So if you look at day to day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us salah. As far as the salah is concerned, salah also teaches us that bit of discipline. When a person makes takbir at-tahreema and he says Allahu Akbar, starting his salah, certain things that were normally allowed for him to engage in or to consume are not allowed. He's focusing on his conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful institute of salah. He cannot walk, he cannot talk, he cannot eat, he cannot drink. And he's confined to making his salah. And this will continue until he makes his salam and he ends that salah. So every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a structure in place, the way a person removes himself from his normal routine and he gets involved in this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding himself about who he is answerable to. And like that, he is able to make tawbah and mend his ways so many more times in the day. Then we find, you get, as far as zakat is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you can use whatever you have. But in the wealth also, there is a portion for those who do not have, those who have been deprived in some way or the other, and those who are needy. So while I can have whatever I've got from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I'm not wildly and greedily consumed by all that wealth, they also say, this is for you, but this portion here, I need to give it in charity. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do. So even in that, the consciousness comes over and over again. You're looking at the fast itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that also. We see it very clearly. Normally, we are allowed to eat and drink whatever is halal. But a certain portion of the day, from Subah Sadiq, right till sunset, a person cannot have those things he normally has. Again, to awaken, enliven this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful month of Ramadan for us to gain closeness to Him. And we are now in the middle 10 days. And the middle 10 days is known for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who doesn't need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Every human being, besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, has committed some sin. And the best of sinners are those who repent and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala loves it when you turn to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when you turn to Him. And all of us are on different degrees of sin. And all of us may have been engaged in different categories of sin. But we all require that kind of purification. And Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this kind of amnesty to say, come, whatever it is, as the hadith explains, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ يَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches out His hand at night so that He may forgive those people who committed sin in the day, and He stretches His hand out in the day so that He may forgive those people who have committed sin in the night. And this continues until the sun rises from the west. Now a person may think that, you know, sin, yeah, I know I did this, I did that. But Abdullah bin Abbas has written something and is quoted as having said concerning sin. He says, Ya sahib al-dham, la ta'man su'a akibati. That all you who have committed sin, don't feel safe of the evil consequences of having done that sin. Don't think, okay, I've done it and it's okay, it's fine. There's nothing to it. What kind of consciousness should a person should have? He says, وَلِمَا يَتْبَوَ الذَّنْبُ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الذَّنْبُ. Because sometimes, some things that follow the sin, that accompany that sin, are worse than the sin itself. Right? And he explains and he says, إِذَا عَمِلْتَهُ كِلَّةُ حَيَائِكَ مِمَّنْ عَلَى الْيَمِينَ وَعَلَى الشِّمَالِ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. If you, when doing that sin, you had no conscious of the malaika that are writing down this particular sin of yours, that's worse than committing that sin. Then he says, وَفَرْحُكَ بِالذَّنْبِ إِذَا زَفَرْتَ بِهِ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. He says, if you're so happy that you engage in that sin, you had that moment of pleasure, you did that wrong, but you enjoyed it, you felt very happy with yourself, you know, whether you deceive somebody or whether engaging in zina or engage in some kind of illicit relationship, and you had your moments and you're able to do it, and that brings you joy. The joy that it brings you is worse than the sin itself. Then he says, وَحُزْنُكَ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ إِذَا فَاتَكَ أَعْظَمْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. And your grief over that sin, whichever sin it may be, that you couldn't do it at that time. Oh, I couldn't get to meet her. Oh, I couldn't get to meet him. Oh, we didn't speak today. Oh, we didn't that. Oh, I. When you're thinking about that and you feel so sad about it, that you, that's worse than committing the sin itself. You didn't do it, but you're feeling so sad that I didn't do it. And then he said also, وَخَوْفُكَ مِنَ الرِّيحِ إِذَا حَرَّكَ سِتْرَ بَابِكَ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ. Then he says about your fear from the wind moving that curtain, because it becomes known, maybe somebody is coming towards the room or something, somebody else is going to come to know, while you engage in that kind of sin, and if that gives you more fear than the sin itself, that's even worse. So as far as sin is concerned, we are consumed. Some way or the other, we may have indulged in something or the other. But this is the time to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the kind of forgiveness. That I should have, not only asking Allah ta'ala to forgive me, but I should make tawbah in the true sense of the word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shut the doors of Jahannam in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the doors of Jannah to show that His mercy abounds. Allah ta'ala's mercy abounds, and He wants us to turn towards Him. So no matter where we fall in which particular category, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be beneficial for us to take those steps. You see, sometimes when you start something and you start it alone and there's no other motivation around you, then it makes it a bit difficult. But Allah Ta'ala has created this whole institute of Ramadan. What happens in that Ramadan? You find the masajid are full.
Then you find that more people are reciting Quran. Then you find hearts are more receptive. Then people are talking more deen than other stuff. So somehow you feel in that kind of vibe that I also want to get involved in, want to swim in this ocean of forgiveness that is there, the ocean of mercy that abounds. I want to benefit from this. And slowly you dip your feet into that and you begin to get involved in this world of ibadah, world of competing in terms of closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected listeners, you know, sometimes a person thinks, there's no hope for me. Right? That's the last thing that should come to a person's mind. Because nobody can say he has no hope until he has taken his last breath. There's an incident mentioned in Kitab al-Tawwabin that a man was once asked to tell the story of the turning point of his life. The moment he began applying the teachings of Deen. And this is what he said. He said, when I was a young man, I would not hesitate to perpetrate any sin that was made available to me. And he says, one day I saw a young woman who was perhaps the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. I was tempted by her. I indicated to her that I wanted her to approach me. She seemed nervous, but I thought she would probably agree to this desire of mine if I gave her some money. But when she came with a whole deal of apprehension, very nervous. And when she stood before me, he says, she looked terrified. Feeling sorry for her, he said, don't worry, I will not harm you. But he said, my words didn't lessen her fear in the least. In fact, it worsened the situation. She began to tremble even more. Then I asked her, tell me, why are you so scared? What's the problem? She said, I take a qasam by Allah that never before this day have I offered my body in this way to anyone. Its dire need is what has driven me to this. For I have 3 daughters who have not eaten a single morsel of food for 3 days now. It was out of pity for them that brought me to this low point in my life. This person who was engaged, this young man, in all kinds of evil pursuits, enjoying partying, entertainment, zina, everything else. He says, after she spoke to me, her story moved me so much that I no longer entertained the intention of taking advantage of her. After she told me where she lived, I took a great deal of money, clothing and food to her house. When I returned to my house, I told my mother what had happened. Now my mother knew that I had a book in which I would record all my evil deeds, all my escapades and everything else. So she said to me, my dear son, you are a man who has never performed a good deed, except for the good deed that you performed today. I know that you have a book in which you record your evil exploits. Go now to that book of yours and write in it your good deed. The person says, I stood up, I went to my book, I opened it, and I found that all of its pages had written all the evil habits of mine and the things that I've done. It was all blank, except for the first page on which was written a single line. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Indeed, good deeds remove the evil deeds. He said, at that very moment, I raised my hands to the sky and I said, Allah, by your might and majesty, never again will I disobey you. There was a turning point of this person. And alhamdulillah, he lived a life of righteousness. What's going to be my turning point? What's going to be that point in which I would have made that U-turn? Which Ramadan I'm waiting for? Which janazah I'm waiting for? Which calamity that I'm waiting for? with sickness that I'm waiting for, to finally turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive. Allah wants to take us with open arms. But are we ready to make that move? Respected listeners, you know, yesterday the budget speech was given, and you know, just thinking and reflecting while listening to some of the points on that we need to think about ourselves and about our own lives in terms of a budget. One is Ramadan. How much of time in my month of Ramadan have I allocated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I allocated to dua? Have I allocated to dhikr? Have I allocated to salah? Have I allocated to ibadah? Have I allocated to service to the community? Have I allocated for my istighfar and tawbah? In my budget of time, does this feature anyway there, or just time just goes as it is in Ramadan or out of Ramadan? So that's important for us. Then the second thing is, a person is always asked to invest wisely. Always asked to invest wisely. How wisely have I invested? Are the things that I am investing in, the things I'm investing my time, my money, and my health in, is it the enjoyment of it going to stop when my eyes close? Or have I decided that I'm going to do something for my akhirah? مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Whatever is by you in the dunya, it is there for a short period of time. But what is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there forever. Whatever is stored in the bank of the akhirah. Then you find, as when you speak of the budget, they say you must be careful of wasteful expenditure. Wasteful expenditure. And we just think, how am I wasting away this life which Allah Ta'ala has given me? How is time just going by without me using it constructively to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So respected listeners, with these few words I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that we are able to utilize the moments that He has blessed us with for gaining closeness and nearness to Him. Allah Ta'ala grant us ikhlas in all our actions. Allah Ta'ala grant qubuliyat to all the ibadah that we are making. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create that love for those things that please Him in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make abhorrent and distasteful to us those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram. And then when each Ramadan comes and I go through this institute of Ramadan, I pass through the waters of Ramadan, then I come cleansed, I become soaked with better habits, which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will hold me in good stead when I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us istiqamah in the habits that we have started. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast in the habits that we have given up from. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at us with mercy as we raise our hands to Him, begging to Him for various needs. We tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, we are guilty as charged. Oh Allah, we have committed those wrongs. Oh Allah, you know everything, nothing we can hide from you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us lead, make it possible for us to lead that life of righteousness, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown us. And in the middle of the month of Ramadan, we know that's a topic for another day, where the many of the greatest factors, battles and changes in terms of the deen and in terms of the impetus that Islam received happened in this particular period. The one is the Battle of Badr in the middle 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Let us also engage in some kind of extra activity beyond ourselves, that we go that extra mile to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I'm in need of you. Oh Allah, I know you don't need anyone at all, but I am totally in need of you. I'm nothing without you. Oh Allah, take care of all our needs, both in dunya and the akhirah. Allah ta'ala is the plight of all the Muslims in the various parts of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the hearts of everyone. Allah ta'ala put harmony back in our homes. Allah ta'ala keep hostility far away from us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live with iman, make us die with iman, and resurrect us with iman. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.